eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome to a noon dish. I'm Tommy Ashley. That's Don Callahan. We're sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com. Folks, if you're not in this live chat immediately, you're going to miss the most special guest we've had ever on the Noon Dish. And I'm not talking about Don Callahan. I'm talking about Kobe.
Kobe Callahan with the UNC jersey on. Thanks to Trish and Buck Sanders, who sent that as a gift. So he's here. And I think he'll be content. My wife's supposed to grab him at some point, but she hopped on the phone. So he might be hanging out a little bit. He's usually pretty good if you're holding him. So we'll see how this goes.
Well,
live television.
Yeah, absolutely. We just need to see how he's going to rank and discuss this 2026 recruiting class we're going to get into a little bit. And no spit up allowed on the show.
Yeah.
There is no spit up allowed. Welcome in, though, to Noon Dish. Don, you've been quite busy, obviously.
Yes.
We were with 2 weeks ago this time. You just had a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah. And now we got teenagers and a little one. So the last week or 2 weeks has been crazy. We finally left the hospital officially. About a week ago, last Thursday. So just establishing our new normalcy sort of thing. So
what is new normal? Like how many hours of sleep do you get?
Yeah, the sleep really hasn't been that bad because mostly my wife has been handling a lot of it, but as far as the feedings and stuff like that. But he's a big sleeper. He really is. I mean, we were worried because we had a doctor's appointment. And he actually, I think it was Saturday night, I fed him at like 1 o'clock in the morning and he didn't wake up until 8. Now, I mean, this is a baby that's, you know, we're like a little over a week old, you know.
Absolutely.
Now that was an outlier. But so he usually gets up, you know, once, and then, you know, you and I talked earlier about the hockey playoffs. So I've been feeding him right before I go to bed, watching some of these overtime games. And then my wife usually kind of grabs him. And then, you know, he's up in the morning. So it's actually not been so bad. And then before that, we were in the hospital.
Yeah, that is I'm a little jealous. I mean, I know.
You can come babysit if you want.
I probably would if they sleep all the time. My problem is our oldest did not sleep through the night.
My daughter did not sleep. She was she still is a brat, but she was. She was a difficult baby. So this has been good to have, at least so far, so good.
So yeah. Can you explain the naming rights? Because we had the top five a couple of weeks ago, or maybe beyond that, of names, and you guys came up. with what Kobe. You did. Sort of explain it for us.
Yeah. So Kobe was not on my list. I know a lot of people think because of Kobe Bryant, because it's spelled like Kobe Bryant, but Kobe was not on my list. That was on my wife's list. She liked the name. We had some other middle names. We eventually settled on Kobe Joseph. Joseph is my grandfather, who I was very, very close to, his middle name. And also my wife's, or my father-in-law's name. And then Katie's middle name is Joe. So it's kind of, you know, a family name. Bless you. Sort of thing. So
that's pretty cool. So everybody's healthy.
Yes. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's all good. And we're ready to talk some recruiting. Cause I know, people, especially if you're listening to this later on, are probably not all that excited to hear about all this.
Yeah, let's get into it a little bit. This is the Noon Dish. It is May the 8th already done in the month. Well, later this month and then next month really heats up. I entitled this show, Tis the Season. Tis the Season for Visits for North Carolina. Just sort of outline the rest of May for people, and then what June's going to mean for Mac Brown and his staff recruiting.
So May is a bit of a, you know, kind of the quiet before the storm sort of situation. I mean, there's still stuff going on. You have, and particularly in the state of North Carolina, you have high school spring practices starting up. If they haven't already, in late April, they're starting up this week. And then you still have some of the showcase camps, meaning the Under Armour, the opening. You know, the Under Armour makes a stop in Charlotte this weekend on Mother's Day. So that's kind of the, as far as like the recruiting calendar, that's the big stuff. But really, for the staffs, it's all about the preparation for June, which has become such a huge month ever since they moved up the official visits to be allowed to be taken in, you know, before the season. You know, you used to have to wait until September 1st, and now it's, well, you can start taking it in April, but what happens is, you know, those weekends in June end up being the big weekends for official visits. North Carolina has official visitors scheduled for every single weekend in June, including that May 31st Friday that turns into June and all that. Those four weekends are the big weekends, and UNC actually had an official visitor a couple weekends ago. Antoni Ogumoro, who was a former in-state kid who moved to Oklahoma, he took an official visit to North Carolina. That was North Carolina's first official visitor of the cycle. So it's kind of sort of already started, but the vast majority, if not really all the rest, are taking place in those four weekends in June.
Yeah, and if you were with us, I guess it's been a month or so ago when we had Alex White on the show, she sort of outlined what all goes into those visits and all the process that to get to that point and everything around it. If you are on the Tar Pit Premium message boards, you've seen Don's scoop update. We'll talk about it in just a little bit. But there's a list of all the recruits, both committed and uncommitted, official visitors over the next month or so. Don, let me ask you a question. How important is it to have committed guys come in on recruiting visits with uncommitted guys?
Can I get to some housekeeping stuff that we didn't get to?
Hey, it's all about you. You're the one. He who has the baby has the first say.
So chat MVP, Brad Stone, who I know is a regular on Inside Carolina message board. I think he made his, that's the first time I saw him in the chat. So I guess 2 weeks ago, he was very active in the chat. So welcome, Brad. Hopefully he returns. Hopefully we didn't turn him away. Congratulations, Brad. We're dedicating this podcast to you as the chat MVP of 2 weeks ago. And then top five, we decided to go with top five beaches, right?
Yep. Top five beaches can be North Carolina or otherwise.
Okay. And this is not going to be my area of expertise. I've definitely been to plenty of beaches, but I'm not like a beach guy. Now you are though, aren't you, Tommy?
I am. And, okay. And I am jonesing terribly. All right. For the beach.
So to get to your question, your actual question, it's important. It's a huge benefit, you know, and what North Carolina will do strategically is have certain guys, if they can. I mean, a lot of this, you know, they're dealing with the commits, you know, personal schedules on top of this. But if they can, they like to strategically have their commits come on specific weekends to be with certain guys. Last year, for example, Michael Merdinger came in the same weekend as I think all of the, or almost all of the, the wide receivers that North Carolina was pursuing. And so, you know, how much did that help? You know, I mean, I think a lot of those guys were kind of treading towards North Carolina anyway, but it certainly doesn't hurt at all. So that is a big part of it. And the reason being is that these official visits, the way they kind of look is there's obviously a lot of facility tours and presentations and meetings with coaches and, you know, meetings with academic people and all that sort of stuff. But another big part of it is enjoying the social life on campus, which begins that typically that Friday. When you arrive that Friday, you get a player host and you you obviously go out that Friday, usually go out that Saturday also. And then so the player host is, you know, takes you around and all that. But it's also good to have someone else, you know, someone who can relate to you, who you maybe plays at a rival school or you at least see on the camp circuit. And sorry. And yeah, and that helps with I just found that the here we go. This should help out a lot. Well, maybe not. It doesn't look like this is helping. So anyway, yeah, so it helps out a ton with when it comes to those guys because they can talk to them and they can relate to them and they likely have a prior relationship in most cases. And it just gives someone else in their ear, usually during some social hour, social sort of stuff. And then it's someone that a kid can say, hey, at least if I go here, I know this guy. I've hung out with this guy. I know I can get along with this guy. Hey, this guy could be my roommate. That's one of the things to kind of get out of the official visits is a kid will be like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, when I get to North Carolina, I'm going to room with this guy. So that sort of thing.
Let me ask you a question. Who's the best recruiter commit? Who's the best recruit in since you've been covering this?
Since I've been covering it. Wow. That's
or you can narrow it down too. Well, for those of you listening to the audio version of this, Don is handling a baby and talking football recruiting.
I tell people all the time that I am, you know, I don't want to be boastful, but I'm really good at multitasking.
Okay. You are proving it today.
Yeah, I do it all the time with different things, juggling work, juggling regular life stuff, kids, all that sort of stuff. But so for this class is by far Bryce Baker. You know, he's eager to do it. He's a guy who's starting to get some buzz on, you know, the camp circuit, you know, with all the praise he received from when he went to the Elite 11 regional camp in Atlanta a couple weeks ago. You know, he's well known throughout. Well, he's an in-state guy, which allows him to really kind of connect with the other in-state guys that are recruiting, you know, and he's been committed so long, which helps him. You know, Merdinger, you know, he committed so late in the process that his impact really wasn't felt too much, but Bryce definitely has been involved. A lot of the recent commits that North Carolina has picked up, you know, I always kind of throw the question out at them, you know, particularly if they're an out-of-state guy, you know, like Austin Alexander, who's in Kentucky. Like, hey, have you talked to any of the other commits? And all of them have said, yeah, I have. At the very least, they've said I've exchanged text messages with Bryce Baker, and or I met Bryce Baker and he came up. You know, I think Bryce Baker was actually there when Austin Alexander made that secret visit to Chapel Hill in over the spring. But overall, you know, names to pop my head. There was that one class where you had Michael Carter. And I'm blanking on his name, Lawler. Jake Lawler. Those two really kind of teamed up and did a really good job. You also, you know, Ra-Ra Dilworth was great at recruiting guys. That group that kind of dealt with the pandemic were really, really close, and they did a really good job of kind of adding to that group. But Ra-Ra was kind of one of the leaders of that group. And I'm probably missing a few. You know, Austin Prohl, I don't think people realize, you know, before he was actually a commit, he was really big in helping North Carolina land Bentley Spain, which at the time he was a big time offensive line recruit that wasn't, you know, a slam dunk for North Carolina by any means. And, you know, Austin just had such a strong relationship with Gunnar Brewer at the time that he was doing a really good job of helping, you know, get Bentley to North Carolina. And then he also helped recruit some other guys eventually too. So So yeah, I mean, and I know I'm forgetting some other guys who are really good recruiters also.
Yeah, I mean, it helps to have guys.
Blast from the past. Paulus. Mike Paulus was a really good recruiter.
Oh. You're going to create some trigger memories for some folks because Paulus, Russell Wilson, that dynamic way back when. Interesting one there, Don. What? So do committed recruits do anything differently than uncommitted recruits on recruiting visits, on official visits, or is all everybody does the same thing?
Yeah, for the most part, they do the same thing. I mean, these visits are, you know, regardless of your commit or not commit, they are specialized to a degree for certain things. Obviously, if someone wants to major in a certain major, they're going to make sure that they get in front of those professors and people that are involved with that major. You know, if it's someone, you know, wants to get into broadcasting eventually, then obviously you're going to check out some of the ACC network stuff that's on campus. You know, whereas, you know, someone who's into sports science won't do that. But, you know, the staff, and we probably should have got more detail with Alex, because this is exactly what Alex deals with as far as like planning the exact itinerary for each guy. And then also kind of making it match up so that, hey, they might be doing this here, but at 5 o'clock, let's make sure they meet up, you know, with the rest, all the group meets up at this particular restaurant so they can have dinner together. Let me drop them off real quick.
Don Callahan transferring the baby to the better half there. If you're listening to the Noon Dish again, it's Noon Dish sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com, and Congruity. See Congruity's logo here on your screen as you're watching this. If you're in the chat, shout out to the folks that join us. Hit the like button and subscribe and all that. Somebody in the chat asks, is this only a football channel? I think this is the first football podcast in 2 weeks since we did it last time. So there's plenty of other content, even some baseball content on here as well. And that's going to ramp up too.
Good.
Don, a little bit wrapping up this official visit stuff. Why, and I've asked it before and I want to ask it again, why is June such a huge day, huge week, huge month?
Well, I mean, the one, and I didn't even mention this earlier, is that was big for college camps. You know, most college camps occur in June. Some of them will occur in July, not so much anymore, because really that is only like that last week of July is open. The rest of it is dead. But there was a time when there was a chunk of July that was open and there would be camps then. But anyway, so schools would do a lot of camps in June. And now just because it's just easier to do the official visits in June. So you're also kind of juggling the those camps. And then, you know, the next class, really, and this kind of brings into one of the topics we wanted to get into, is the 2026 class. You know, a lot of those guys have been making visits, but a lot more will be making visits in June, unofficial visits, of course, because they can't take an official visit. So those things are going on also. A lot of those are going to be midweek stuff, maybe some over the weekend stuff, maybe for a camp. You know, there'll be guys going to camps. North Carolina will have its Showtime camp towards the end of the month also. It's just so much stuff going on, and just how the recruiting calendar has kind of just twisted and turned through all these different rule changes and the way it is, and it's summertime sort of thing. Best way I can answer it.
And if folks are listening and don't realize, universities or schools still have, 56 officials they can hand out. Players have unlimited visits, but Don, only one per school, but they can go to 100 schools if they were so inclined. Is that correct?
Yes.
So again, another move by the NCAA to put the game in the players' hands, I think there. You know, once upon a time it was 5 visits. Now it is unlimited for the player, but still limited for the number that a school can host. Anything left on this trim before we jump over to the 2026 class? I want to talk about them because I do want to get into your weekly scoop and encourage people to read it. You talked about the transfer portal in your scoop, and you said, well, I'll let you say what you want to say and reveal, because I'm looking at it now, and I don't want to reveal some premium information, but still work to be done in the portal, I think, Don.
Yeah, so let's just say the portal closed on, I guess it was a week ago. I think it was April 30th. Portal closed. which essentially means that unless the player has some sort of exception, and there are a bunch of different exceptions, such as you lose your head coach, you're a graduate transfer, maybe there's a couple other ones, you can no longer enter into the portal until the next window, which is not until December. So essentially, for the most part, who's in the portal, that's all that's really left. And to be honest, you know, most of the the good stuff is probably out of there. But yes, UNC is still kind of pursuing, they're still pursuing, looking through it. There's still some conversations to be had. The scoop this week goes in a little bit more detail about all of that. But yeah, there's still a little bit of activity with North Carolina in the portal, but not nearly as much as a couple weeks ago, but when it was courting and then eventually secured a commitment from Josh Harris, who played at Ole Miss and NC State, defensive tackle.
Yeah, he's certainly a big piece there in the middle on defensive line. I think he's going to come in and
have to start paying Sean Crowley.
Well, he's an advertiser.
He does our job, yeah.
Well, I mean, you always need somebody. It's kind of like what we just talked about, recruiting. You know,
yeah.
The staff can't do it all, but Sean Crowley certainly knocks it out every week. Get your top five in. Top five beaches does not have to be North Carolina. Can be North Carolina, but top five beaches in the chat. We'll talk about those at the end of the deal. Let me ask you this. How did you do a scoop while having to take care of a baby? How much of that did you just put on your better half? On your wife to take care of the baby while you did all this work, because this scoop is massive.
Well, so we let's just kind of lay this out. There's a lot of fighting over baby time, and there's now a lot more opponents in the ring because my parents, they arrived here. God, what day was it? They arrived over the Saturday. Saturday, my parents got here. So, and then also my mother-in-law. Unfortunately, arrives Thursday. I have no family support. No one listens to this podcast, so I can say stuff like that.
One day they're going to listen. Somebody's going to send an email and said, "Have you heard this before?" Let's talk a little bit about the scoop.
Okay,
and I want to give some inside baseball or inside football. How long does it take you to put together one weekly scoop, so folks understand not only the depth of the information that you're getting, but the research that goes into it, getting it to people? How long you spend on something like this?
Yeah, so generally speaking, I started working on this, I think Wednesday or Thursday of last week, kind of just gathering everything together. So I do wish there were certain things I was able to do, reach out to a little bit more sources on different things, because there's a lot of guys on here. I mean, obviously, we know the guys North Carolina has offered are clearly on UNC's radar. They like them a lot. But there's some other guys who I found intriguing, and I would love to have been able to kind of dig into some sources to see, hey, is there any interest here, that sort of thing. So there wasn't a time for a whole lot. Downtime and as you saw, I mean, I can hold a baby and kind of type some things up, and that's no big deal. A lot of just kind of digging through my notes and all that, and just kind of putting it together. The thing too is I'm not doing a breakdown on every single guy. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, I'm reviewing the film. I'm checking with my notes, sources, that sort of thing, on all these guys, but it's more of like, okay, this sticks out. Okay, this is, because right with this, I guess we haven't laid this out, but I like to break, for me, I guess for my mind, I like to break down the entire group of recruits into tiers to kind of get a better idea. And that doesn't mean that they just stay in that tier. And actually, the idea is to move guys up and down those tiers based off of, just the information that I'm getting. And a lot of this is based on quote unquote market. What I mean by that is not just who's offered you, but who is really recruiting you and who are you really going to see? And, what is it? What is the, maybe you only have a couple of offers, But, you know, you have like 20 schools that are super interested waiting on the first three games of your junior season, or you have a bunch of schools who have invited you to camp and who are like, you know, basically begging your head coach to make sure that you get to their camp. And they're going to offer you if you kind of check these additional boxes sort of thing. And, you know, those sort of things matter. And so, yeah, and kind of helps me kind of put guys within a tier. And as we'll see later on this month, when I do the 2025 class top 25 in-state top 25, is I will rank them, obviously, 1 through 25. But the tiers kind of help me with that a little bit. It just makes it easier because I end up like evaluating, I don't know, you know, over 100 recruits. I'm not doing that in one sitting, and I have a terrible memory. So if I watch somebody on Monday and then I'm trying to mentally compare them to somebody I'm watching on Saturday, it's difficult, you know, but I can say, all right, this tier, I'm going to watch them on this specific day, take down notes, see what I want to do. Certain guys like, oh, he needs to go up this tier. Let me throw him up here when I go to watch this group. This guy, he probably belongs down here in the tier I watched yesterday sort of thing. It just makes it mentally easier for me. And the feedback, so I started kind of putting this out there for everybody to kind of consume. I think it was a couple of years ago. And the feedback has been very, very positive from everyone. So they can, I think it gives a better, I think it's actually a little bit more informative than actually ranking, because in some classes, number 20 in a class is different than number 20 in a class 3 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so this year is a great example. You know, I think this 2026 class, so far it's not up to par of that record breaking 2021 class. But it's definitely making a strong case to be there. And we still have the summer and the season for it to add some additional prospects. But, in my scoop, I have, 9 national recruits, which is pretty significant. Yeah. And you put it in perspective, the prior two classes at the same time. So you got to keep in mind that we have a full year where additional names will be thrown in there. But at the same time, for the prior two classes, I think it was like 7 total. You know, so this is a significant jump in talent for the state in this 2026 class. And then just looking at the fact that you have Faison Brandon, you know, 247 has him as the number one player in the nation for the class is mind blowing. You have Kendre Harrison, who, you know, is just, yeah. If he's not a top 10 national recruit, I don't know what is, because he's just, you know, an unbelievable talent. And a bunch of other guys who are ranked in the top 100 of 24/7 Sports, top 247. So it's a very impressive class.
I want to get into how you get to the tiers a little bit here a second, but I'm going to talk about Johnny T-shirt first. This is actually a Johnny T-shirt shirt from back in the day. Need to get it back and get them redone again and put them on the market. But Johnny T-shirt, johnnyt-shirt.com, certainly on East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. Been up Chapel Hill a lot lately covering the baseball team, and Johnny T-shirt's always hopping. They can always use your business, and, of course, they always support Inside Carolina. So get your premium message board code off the premium message board. Go to Johnny T-shirt, get your 10% off. Take care of them. They take care of us. Going to let the national people pay the bills. This is the Noon Dish, Wednesday, May 8th.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don, we're about 28 minutes in. Shout out to the 60-plus folks that are joining us live over their lunch hour, which is pretty incredible. Given the fact that everybody has so much to do, they choose to join it to do it with us. Don, these tiers. First of all, you mentioned that 21 class. Is it safe to say, and I don't want to shoehorn everybody into the same spot, but is it safe to say that class is maybe highly overranked given the pandemic and all how that worked?
I mean, so, yeah, so that was the that class had already, I'm trying to think now, do they play their juniors? That's right. They're, no, they had played their junior seasons, which that's the season really for most recruits. It was that senior season that like Drake May skipped out on, and I think a couple others skipped, you know, so that they can go to college sooner, because in North Carolina they delayed the season until the spring. So I don't think the pandemic had an impact from a rankings or an evaluation standpoint compared to some of the other classes. You know, I've learned to just kind of look at the class as is based off the information we have, because I think that once you look back at any class, you're going to see a lot more bust than you expect. I mean, I really, you know, I've done a little bit of this research stuff. We've posted in prior weekly scoops. I did one right around the February signing day, just kind of looking back at classes and everything. And you realize that with every recruit, you're basically flipping a coin on whether they're going to be a boom or a bust guy, or whether they're going to be a bust or a college guy, I should say. You know, so I don't know if it's, I don't know. I think we would have to go back and look at all those classes and just kind of really to see. But I mean, one of those guys who's in that class was Drake May. And I mean, he's doing pretty good.
He turned out pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and, it's just interesting.
And also mentioned Javari Ritzy, who has been a contributor since his freshman year. I mean, there's been some guys like, you know, Keyshawn Silver, who I thought would be a lot better, but he's, you know, he's starting at Kentucky. Rob Dilworth, who's bounced around a bunch, but I think that had more to do with, you know, trying to find a scheme fit more than anything else. I'm going blank on who else was. I know there's a lot of other really good players in that class, but.
Well, I mean, I guess my thing is, you know, a lot of people talk about the rankings and all that, and it was, I felt like it was skewed, but you sort of cleared it up for me that it wasn't really skewed. Eric Miller in the chats helped you out here, and this is kind of the point.
Yeah.
You got Drake, Silver, Ritzy,
Power Eccles.
Yeah, Gabe Stevens. I guess he's at East Carolina now. Kamara Edmonds. Not sure where he was. I know he was at East Carolina. Dilworth, Eccles. So you've got this top 10 here, right? And you've got May and Eccles have definitely lived up to their ranking, I think. Ritzy is on the verge of that, I think is fair. Gavin Blackwell's been hurt some.
But he's played a good bit.
Yeah,
he hasn't been a regular starter or anything like that.
Got some potential to make some noise this year for sure, but you got the other guys, you know, Balfour transferred out, and so it's just to your point though, people follow this recruiting stuff so intently.
Yeah.
Name by name, person by person, and literally when you saw all said and done, tell me if this is fair or not. You can basically go 50-50 and just take 150, one half of it, and just slide it off.
Yeah, I think that basically when you take a particular class, you can just go every other and pick out who's actually going to be, you know, a bust or an actual contributor. Yeah, I mean Caleb Hood, if it wasn't for injuries, I think would contribute a lot more. Diego Pounds was pretty well coveted, you know, by some other schools. JJ Jones has been good. Bryson Nesbitt has been really good.
Yeah.
I think if Boykin, I think, has been really good. And if he would have played last year, we might feel a little bit more comfortable saying that. Kobe Pesor, you know, I think he's same thing with injuries, but minus those injuries.
He's been really good.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's been a really good class.
But it's interesting, though, like the top 10 has three or four guys that have lived up, quote unquote, lived up to whatever their ranking are. And then you've got these guys that maybe weren't ranked as high that have lived up to it more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just, it's an interesting dynamic. I mean, these kids aren't robots. It's kind of, You know, it's not, you don't plug them in when you're playing college football here in 2 months, I guess.
Yeah.
And say, hey, he's rated 89. He's going to play like an 89 no matter what. And so it's interesting. And that's what makes recruiting fun, right, Don, is, you know, you rank a guy high and then he busts out and they blame you.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I got to say the, you know, and people know I have been critical of IC posters in the past, but they're usually pretty good to me when it comes to the ranking stuff, you know. So I appreciate that, because the reality is that we're going to get a lot wrong, you know, because of what we're dealing with and the limited information that we have. So, you know, it is what it is with all that. I did have a question that's kind of on this topic that someone posed to me on the message board, but I thought it'd be good for us to discuss, but I didn't want to go there if you were still.
No, I mean, it depends on where you're going, because I do want to talk about this 2026 tier ranking.
Yeah. So it's actually in that thread, and I think it was Double Gambler asked the question.
It's great live radio right here, by the
way. Yeah. Can you briefly touch on the hotbeds of talent in North Carolina? And he has a big, long description or whatever, and I thought it was interesting, especially, I believe I've met Double Gambler before. So I think he's from North Carolina. If I've met him, if I have not, then I apologize. But if you don't live in North Carolina, I can imagine that some of these names of these places, you just never know, you know, what's what sort of thing. So
I think for my area in Johnston County, it's very cyclical.
Yes. Yeah.
And there have been some big names, and there's several names on your list here up from then in this area. They're too young for me to really know as much as I have in the past, but hotbeds, obviously Charlotte,
yeah,
and Winston-Salem area. But you
and
go
he
ahead.
actually said, "Hey, imagine Charlotte, but is it because of the population?" Now, yes, the population matters massively. It's like, I mean, Charlotte is obviously the largest city in North Carolina. Not, but it's also double the size of the second largest, which is Raleigh. So, and then I don't know if they consider just Charlotte as far as like who lives in the confines of Charlotte or the greater Charlotte area, because those lines kind of, you know, they're very, people go across them all the time, you know, depending on what school you're at and all that. But the thing too, in addition to the population, and I've had this conversation with a lot of different coaches, trainers, you know, whoever, you know, in the Charlotte area, outside the Charlotte area, is that the football infrastructure in Charlotte is light years ahead of everywhere else in North Carolina. And I'm talking about the youth leagues, the training that they have, the 7-on-7. I mean, you have guys like Noah Rogers every single Saturday was driving down to Charlotte to play for the Carolina Stars. You know, it just amazes me, you know, that he would make that 2-3 hour drive just to play for a team where there wasn't a reliable team in the Raleigh area or in Greensboro, which is slightly closer. Just kind of blows my mind. But there's just the training, the dedication. It's far better than, you know, Wake County, Raleigh, where I live. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. You know. And then the other thing is that the coaching, the high school coaching is way better. Yeah. And a lot of it is just, I mean, obviously they're better coaches, but the dedication, it just blows my mind sometimes when I go to certain places, particularly, you know, in the Wake County, Raleigh area, where you're like, you know, they're just, I don't know, they'll make exceptions for things. They'll be fine with things. You know, my best example, I tell people this all the time, is that just by going to a practice, and I'm not saying focusing on the talent and evaluating the talent, but just getting a feel for the practice, the coaches, the atmosphere, all that sort of stuff, I can tell how good a team is. And my best example is one time I went to a school, I'm not going to name the school because I think they still have the same head coach. And this was slightly outside of Charlotte. And I had to be there, I think it was like 8 o'clock. He said practice started at 8:30, something like that. So I could do my interview with him and the recruit. I was like, all right, cool. Got there, and then practice starts. As practice starts, all of these kids are arriving still. This is practice. Warm-ups have already begun. They're about to start actual practice, and there's kids still arriving, and it blew my mind. Like, Where is the dedication to your team? Then later on that afternoon, I go to Mallard Creek. They didn't practice, I think, until 6 o'clock because of, you know, the rules for the heat and all this sort of, this is during the summer. I probably should lay out. And I get there a couple of hours earlier so I can hang out with some of the coaches. They have coaches who have been there for a long time, coached a lot of different places. I've known for a long time. At that time, Palmieri was the head coach, but they had a lot of assistant coaches who I've known for a very long time. And it's, keep in mind, it's really hot. There's no practice going on until six, but there's like a dozen plus kids out there working out on their own. And then everybody shows up on time. There's no one coming in late. And this is during, you know, Mallard Creek was a powerhouse and everything like that. And then the other thing is they were really hard on their kids. Really, really, really hard. Stuff that, you know, I imagine would kind of get you canceled if certain people kind of heard the things were being said. I don't get offended by it. So I think our kids are soft. So I think it's necessary. But yeah, it just blows my mind. And that, you know, that first coach example I kind of gave you is kind of what I see a lot in a lot, not everywhere. There are some places, you know, like Reggie Lucas up in Wake Forest does an excellent job. Everybody, you know, when they were rolling, they've gotten depleted by some of the new schools opening and everything like that. But when they were rolling, you know, I would go there and I mean, it was very structured. He was always good to the media. He was, guys showed up on time. Guys went all out every single practice. But a lot of the other schools, I go to these practices and I'm like, man, we'll be good here.
I feel you. I mean, the greatest coaches are the hard asses, right?
Yeah.
And they're great ones for the reason. And I think, what's my saying that I say all the time, and I should have coined it here because I've heard people reuse it, is you get what you allow.
Yeah.
And if practice is already going on and I'm out there working and I'm doing my thing and these dudes are rolling up, they better not be playing in front of me.
Yeah. Because but I bet they are.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The problem.
And then, but yeah, so when you talk about hotbeds, I think what you just talked about.
Yeah, I really got off topic. Sorry.
No, I think it's relevant, though, because I think that the structure and the infrastructure is more important than the number of people. Sure, there's a bigger pool to pull from in the greater Charlotte, Mecklenburg area as far as talent. But to your point, it is that more people doesn't mean better teams. If that was the case, the – you know, Fayetteville wouldn't have gone downhill so much, I think, because there's still plenty of people down there. But Fayetteville used to be a hotbed.
Yeah.
Like I said, my area is a sort of a cycle type thing where they run into two or three or four good guys, good players, higher level recruit guys, and then it sort of cycles out. But when you look at these tiers, how do you determine, obviously a national recruit, I would assume has multiple offers from everybody. Is it purely offer related, Don, your tiers, or is it eyeballing somebody? Combination of both. How do you do it?
Yeah, it's
where you go from national top, you know, high P5, mid P5, whatever, and then you got group of five and then beyond. How do you do it?
Yeah. So it is, it's, I don't want to say it's offers because, as we know, some offers are BS. You know, a lot of offers are BS. So if you can have, I mean, there's guys who claim 40 offers and they're only visiting East Carolina, Middle Tennessee State, and that sort of thing. Obviously, all those offers are not legit. You know what I mean?
No disrespect to those two schools.
No disrespect to those two schools. And so, yeah, I've been throwing like stray bullets. You know, innocent bystanders be getting hit today. I don't know.
It's just like, what?
Maybe it's like.
Exactly. Man's just sitting he's just sitting on the bench enjoying an ice cream. And Don Callahan stray comes flying around.
So that's why I like to use the term market, quote unquote, because it's like, who is actually recruiting this kid? Who is, another way, and this is not a foolproof way, is like if a guy has a Clemson offer and none of the Clemson sites are doing any stories on him, then he probably doesn't have a Clemson offer, you know, unless he's like a high profile guy who's just avoiding the media or whatever. But, you know, those sites are typically getting some sort of information that's somehow indirectly from the coaching staff to know who they should be talking to and that sort of thing. You know, and the other thing is like, I mean, if, you know, if they're a South Carolina kid and they claim a South Carolina offer, but they haven't visited South Carolina, then they're probably not really, you know, that sort of thing. But with that said, so yes, I try to, the market's kind of like the baseline where I start. And then I watch the film and I'm like, all right, is this, does this match up? You know what I mean? And so I'm like, okay, I don't think this kid is, he's probably more of a Power Five kid. Maybe he has some buzz now, but I think that's going to probably subside, you know, once people kind of, maybe he's not, he doesn't have the measurables people think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me ask this. And this is where it came in during the COVID period of time. You've got five stars that weren't really playing against major talent in basketball recruiting and in baseball recruiting for that matter. You can play summer ball or AAU ball or whatever they call it now, travel ball, showcase ball in baseball, and you're going to play against other high level people. In football, it's more of just a camp set. It's not like 7-on-7 is a little different because you can play the talent there, but like for linemen, how do you determine whether he's just a dude that's beating up on Jimmy from science class versus
Jimmy.
He's dominant.
Doing that, Jimmy.
Jimmy, I'm sorry, Jimmy. But you got roughed up.
You know, some old classmate of yours named Jimmy is like, listen to this. And like, is Tommy talking about me?
No. Nobody I know listens to this either. I'm sorry. No, way too many people listen to this. It's hilarious. I was at a baseball game and I hear people say, I really love what you do. And I'm like, I appreciate it, man. It's amazing that people care. And people really care about recruiting, so let's stay here.
Okay.
How do you determine whether it's not some dude dominating lesser? Is that where the market bears out?
That's where the art comes in. And that's not just for me. That's for the people who do the evaluations. You know, we had Andrew Ivins on, and he mentioned that also. And this is where, you know, UNC staff, Pat Suttis, who we've had on the podcast, that's where, you know, kind of the art kind of comes into it, because it is difficult. It's not easy to say, because I mean, look, I don't want to like, there have been, well, let me just, one of the positions, if you kind of look at, I was reading something a couple of months ago about just, you know, looking at five stars, and the one position that had the least hit rate with five stars was offensive line, to your point. And so there, you know, because it is difficult to tell, okay, is this guy just, as you said, beating up on Jimmy, what was his last name from your science class?
Just Jimmy from science class.
Okay. or then what happens when he's constantly going up against a guy his size? That's a different feeling for a kid who's been bullying kids, bullying in a good way, you know, kids in sports for basically all of his life, and then he goes to college, and the guy in front of him has also been bullying people, you know, and maybe he's a little meaner. You know what I mean? I mean, that's, and how do you respond? What do you do? We don't know. That's where the psychology comes in. And that's also really for anybody who's doing any sort of evaluations, that's where the art kind of comes in. And it's the same thing. You can kind of translate it to, you know, looking at a running back, you know, and he's doing this against 2A talent. You know, is he going to do this against, you know, similar talent, similar speed, you know, in college? Or even if you take it at the 4A level, you know, you play for Huff High School. You have, you know, 10 other, you know, Division I recruits on your team who are helping block for you, who are helping this, who are the object of the defense on this play that opens you up and all this. What happens when the talent around you is no longer better than your opponent's talent? You know what I mean? And so that's just where the art is. And that's one of the many reasons why, as we talked about earlier, that there is this basically a flip of the coin hit rate on these recruits.
Mm-hmm. And just so folks know, go to Don's weekly scoop, the 2026 early look. National recruits, three of the nine are offensive linemen, to your point. It'd be interesting to follow those guys, and then it goes all the way down.
That's a thing too, is like you get a big guy who's athletic and flexible, everybody falls in love.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, and it's just, it doesn't matter the other stuff, or I shouldn't say the other stuff doesn't matter, but that stuff, I mean, cause there's, you know, I don't know. There always ends up being question marks on guys, and people just bypass it because, like, well, look at his size, his athleticism, his flexibility.
Well, it's like, I'm not going to say names or say when, but, you know, they talk about cycles in this area. Coaches show up to see a recruit that's a name, that's a mm-hmm. big name already, and they see this guy over here that hadn't played a snap of football in his life, but he's 6'8", 325, and can move, and they're like, holy, who is that? We got to get him. We got to talk to him. You know what I mean? So to your point, big, can move, and got some skills, everybody falls in love. There's a joke in there somewhere. But anyway, Don Callahan's 2026 scoop is up on the message boards. It's from yesterday, but it's still, the thread is still going. And a lot of people that watch this that are in this chat are also in this message board thread. So make sure you check it out. Don, let's talk top five, but I got to talk about our second. Oh, are we ready for top five before you cut me off?
Well, yeah, can I just like an observation that's kind of funny to me?
I could tell that, it. I could
and
see
this is behind the scenes, inside baseball. You know, Tommy and I were debating, we're going to have a podcast today. What do we talk about? Yada, yada. We should have gotten a guest, but, you know, that didn't happen. And we're like, man, let's just do this. We didn't even do the topic that we wanted. I'm not going to say because we're going to save it. But it's just amazing because we could probably go another couple hours talking on this topic. It just amazes me that we're like, you know, 50 minutes in on basically a topic that we didn't choose. But hopefully everybody is enjoying it.
It's called being flexible, right? It's called being big, athletic, and flexible.
If you're in the chat, give us a quick feedback. The conversation. Did you like the little behind the scenes, nitty gritty recruiting talk?
Yeah, wake up and let us know what you thought.
I'm asleep.
Really? You know, people say, I'm going back to work.
No one's going to respond now. All right, Preston.
Preston's our go-to guy. But yeah, a lot to talk about, a lot on the message boards. There's always recruiting. Certainly no off-season at Inside Carolina, and recruiting is definitely heating up during the summer. Congruity, congruityhr.com/Tar Heels. Get your small to mid-sized business assessment. See if they can help you out. They grew their business from a local business to a national business. If you go to that website I just mentioned, congruityhr.com/Tar Heels, complete the assessment. Darren and Matt and their team will certainly let you know what they can do to help you. They'll handle the heavy lifting while you handle your business, technology, customer support, everything you can possibly need with Congruity. And Congruity is a sponsor of this show's top five. And Don, this show's top five is beaches. Summertime is almost here. That old ballpark man is back in gear out on 39. Do you know that song?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God, man.
I was kind of – well, so Steve has a question I think that would be good to get to real quick.
Oh, Atlanta. Steve Brown. Mike Pence. Is that Mike Pence?
Mike Pence.
Would the staff spend any time recruiting David Sanders, even though he's not included UNC as the finalist? That's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, no. No, I think before before he actually named his final six or five or whatever it was, North Carolina kind of realized that, you know, it's not going to go our way. You kind of just, you're wasting your time. You know, he obviously has different aspirations, and good for him with what he's looking for and all that sort of stuff. Good luck to him. Great kid to deal with, you know, so good luck to him.
Yeah. And recruiting budgets aren't infinite. So you have to, you got to put your money where your mouth is, because it's not unlimited. And Sanders, where's he gonna go? You can make a prediction for where he's gonna go since he's not a Carolina.
I haven't been charting it too much. I guess if I'm just throwing something out there, I'll say Clemson. You know, but I haven't been following it nearly as much in a very long time.
So is he going to the Clemson SEC or Clemson Big Ten?
That's a question for you, Tommy.
That is not a question for me. I just, all that stuff is still out there. Anyway, let's go top five. Top five beaches. I'll throw some up here. Preston, Preston is always the comedian. We'll do here. Daytona. Come on, man. Daytona. I did that. Had a wreck in Daytona in 93. It's a bad time. Kanapali in Maui. I think that's how you say it. Sunset Beach. Love it. Southern coast is. You know where Sunset Beach is, Don?
I don't think I do.
Sunset Beach is down on the southern coast, Ocean Isle, Sunset, and then South Carolina. Any beach in Zuma, Bahamas, I probably mispronounced that, and any nude beach. Brother, nude beaches aren't what you see on TV. I mean, it's kind of like, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to be a certain job. It's not all supermodels that come
maybe
in.
Maybe he wants to go to a nude beach with Ross as his guest.
Oh, my God. You about made me throw up. Glad I ate lunch a while ago. RGB Marion, Pinal Shores, great place. Big Oak. You know what Big Oak is? God knows, man. We got to get you out of.
I know, Tom. You got to take me around.
Wrightsville.
Holly Springs.
It's close enough, Fuquay. Pinal Shores, Wrightsville Beach. Wrightsville's gotten.
We don't want to be
for the young people.
Apparently, so my kid, obviously, that's a rival school. My kids go to Holly Springs. And so when they play them in any sport, everybody wears camo gear or whatever. And you know why that is?
Why? Because of rednecks, Fuquay?
Well, supposedly. And my daughter swears that there is a video out there or whatever. Supposedly a student from Fuquay did some nasty things with a deer. And so that's
God.
Why.
Let's stay on point. We're talking about top five beaches. I'm from Johnston County, so I've heard all those jokes. Figure Eight Island, yeah.
This is not what I dealt with when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah, you had your own separate issues. Figure Eight Island, above my pay grade. Kitty Hawk, it's a great place out there, the Outer Banks, even though I like the southern Outer Banks better, around Hatteras and all that, and Atlantic Beach. That's the go-to spot. If you're in Atlantic Beach and you see me walking around, shout out. Thomas Yancey, Bermuda. Never been, though. Sunset Beach, another one. Myrtle Beach. Can't do Myrtle Beach. Then he's got Pebble Beach and then Maui. Oh, that was a question we should have missed or gotten to earlier. Hubert B. Hoyle, Redanthe, another Outer Banks place. Emerald Isle, can't beat it. Wrightsville, Virginia Beach. I don't go there. Car Lake, I guess, here. All right, give me your beaches, Don.
All right, so my beaches, you say beaches a lot, and it sounds like you're saying something else. All right, so I'm not a beach person. So Atlantic Beach, that's probably the most recent one I've been to. I like it. I put Myrtle Beach, probably been there the most frequently of my adulthood. Wildwood in New Jersey is probably the one I visit the most as a child. But that's,
is that like Jersey beaches?
A little bit, yeah. There's
Jersey Shore.
Yeah, there's a boardwalk and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, what else I have? New Smyrna is where my father-in-law lives, and that's the now. See, I'm gonna embarrass myself here. And I'm going to, you know, that's the first beach I've been to where you can drive up on it. I thought that was the coolest thing. So, you know, especially when you're going to try to spend the whole day and bring all your stuff. Now, I hate the beach. Can I just make that clear?
Man, I thought we were
friends. I don't
mind.
Like, I don't like sand. I don't like really hot sun. And I think, like, ocean is dirty. You know what I mean?
Ocean is not dirty.
So
maybe it is in Jersey.
It definitely is in Jersey.
I will take shots at the north.
That's fine. Oh, I do have Nag's Head, and I guess I named them all. Oh, I liked Virginia Beach. It's not, you know, I like to have those statues with the what is it, like a mermaid, and there's like a merman or whatever, or Viking or something. Those are pretty cool.
You're extremely weird. I'm going to show you a beach, and I want you to tell
me. Eric Miller. See, I shouldn't let this out, but I have Eric Miller down as a very strong candidate for MVP, and now he sealed it. He just hit a grand slam like Bryce Harper did last night. Did you see his comment?
They don't need the actual beach. No, see, y'all.
No, I'm talking about Eric Miller.
I see his chat, his thing. He likes seafood, but he doesn't need the actual beach.
Yes, that's how I am. I like seafood. I don't mind walking the beach, like particularly in the morning when it doesn't get so hot. You know, I love walking the beach, but like, I don't like get sandy and all that sort of stuff.
Let me tell you this. Let me show you a picture if I can figure out how to do this. Hold,
hey, please. Don't you have a beach house?
No, I've got in-laws that have places. I'm not going to advertise this kind of stuff. I don't need people showing up. All right, hold on. I'm going to show you this.
Okay.
I'm going to show the people this. What part of that is dirty?
What beach is this, though?
This Emerald Isle.
Is that Emerald Isle?
Which part of the beach? What part of that? Folks, look at this picture.
All right, look, that is very pretty, but I'm not certain that this is a beach in North Carolina.
Your fault.
I need like some sort of DNA testing or something.
Oh, my God. There's probably plenty of that out there. But that is a – so I'm going to go Emerald Isle, North Carolina. I grew up in a Caswell Beach, Oak Island type thing. So I love Southport and all that. And Brad Stone's from Southport. Shout out to that. So those beaches down there.
Syringes.
Atlantic Beach.
Syringes,
I see it.
Syringes did wash up in beaches. I think it was Wildwood, or I can't remember what it was, but.
Yeah, I'm not going to Jersey Shore ever just because of what I saw on that TV show way back when. Emerald Isle, Atlantic Beach, Caswell Beach. Hatteras was unbelievable when we went to the Outer Banks and stayed out there for a couple weeks. And then I'll go Anna Maria Island in Florida, which is on Tampa, down below Tampa. Those places, Siesta Key, those are the only ones I would go to outside of the state. But, yeah, we got to get more North Carolina in you, Don. You've been down here for how long, and you still repping Philly and all those type places. That's just – anything left before we get out of here? We have
no. I think we covered everything. We're right at 1 o'clock, and I get the Phillies on in 30 minutes.
Perfect time, and we're going to get out of here. It's been the Noon Dish, sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and Congruity, and that is Don Callahan. Shout out to Kobe for joining us. If you missed it, you missed it. He'll be back again. He'll be doing this stuff.
He will be
before we know it. I'm Tommy Ashley. That's
whether
Don
he's
Callahan.
Invited or not.
He's showing up. Yeah, just bibs. Bibs optional. Don, it's always fun, my friend. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.